answered. Everything became auspicious. This is a brief summary of the narration of how the Lord appeared within this world. When he was just newborn, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, he did horoscope. And also one Brahmin came, and he actually could foresee the future. That this child will spread the greatest fortune upon the entire universe. Because this child is the very source of all nourishment for all of creations, his name should be Vishwambar. And Sachimata, she was thinking, because my child was born under the neem tree, I will call him Nimai. And also, because the neem tree has bitter leaves, it is said that it attracts away all inauspicious elements. And because so many of her children had already left, if I name my child Nimai, he will be protected. And the ladies of Navadvip, they were thinking, he looks just like Lord Hari with a golden complexion, so we will call him Gaur Hari. And Jagannath Mishra, weeping tears of ecstatic love to see each golden limb of his child, he called the child Gauranga. And because he was born from the womb of Sachidevi, he is eternally glorified as Sachinandana. From his very infancy, he was executing his mission. He would cry. And actually, everyone loved this little baby so inconceivably. Their only purpose in life was to make him happy. This is an impossibility in the material world. Parikshit Maharaj was amazed when he heard this about Krishna. How could it be, he asked Sukadeva Goswami, that everyone in Vrindavan loved Krishna more than their own children? It's not possible. No mother, even if the child is naughty and bratty and fails in their exams, still, the mother loves their child more than someone who gets the top grades in the exam, who's somebody else's child. Do you have that experience? If someone's well-behaved, if they're someone else's child, you just don't love them as much as your own. So how is it everyone loves Krishna more than their own child? Sukadeva Goswami explained, because Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. Krishna is the source of life of every living being. Krishna is the eternal object of everyone's love. The only reason we love anyone is because they're part of Krishna. When Krishna appears with his full, unlimited opulences, to love him, all other love of all other living beings is naturally part and parcel included. Krishna is all attractive. So all the residents of Navadvip, who were the close associates of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi, they loved their Nimai as their very life and soul. The perfection of all of their desires was to see him smile. And the anguish of their hearts was to hear him cry. This is how Nimai controlled them. So Nimai would cry. And what do mothers do when their babies cry? The first things they're supposed to do is take them out of the temple. Just in case. And then there's so many other processes following that one. So you give them your milk. And oftentimes they're very happy. This is what I have theoretically learned. Or you may give them some toy, or you may sing some song for them. Well, Sachi Mata, Nimai was crying. She just offered milk. He kept crying. Even more, she offered him all kinds of little playthings. All the ladies were gathered around, just giving everything, doing anything to somehow or other get him to cry. It was breaking their hearts. And ultimately, when they couldn't find any solution, all they could do is just desperately cry out, Hari Hari! And beautiful Nimai smiled. He revealed the secret. If we want to please the Lord, we must sincerely chant His holy names. So from that day on, the ladies of Navadvip would just remain practically day and night in the house of Sachi Devi. And every time little Nimai cried, they chanted the holy names. Nimai established the Yuga Dharma from his very first days in this world. We have seen this beautiful spontaneous drama by the Brahmacharis of how little baby Nimai, when he was just walking and running, how he bestowed his causeless mercy upon that Brahman. Did you all see that drama? Please know that this drama, there was no rehearsal, there was no script, just spontaneous, just whatever they know of the story, they acted for your pleasure. Because there's no greater perfection of life than always remembering Krishna. And those persons who help us remember Krishna are our dearest and best friends. So let us thank these sincere devotees for helping us to remember Krishna. As Nimai grew older, he became the best of all scholars. His father, by his own wish, actually, I'll only tell one or two stories from this era, because it's becoming late, the moon is going to rise soon. The Vishwarup, Nimai's brother, he saw the condition of materialistic society. And it just broke his heart so much. It was intolerable for him. Therefore, he spent all day, every day at the house of Advaita Prabhu, just hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. One day, Sachi Mata told Nimai, "Go bring Vishwarup. It's time for him to eat lunch." So he ran. He was just playing with his friends, not wearing clothes, body covered with the dust of play. He ran to the house of Advaita Prabhu, and they were all discussing Krishna and chanting the names of Krishna. And as soon as he entered the house, just a small child, his golden form was resplendent with such beauty that everyone's hearts and minds were charmed. By his yogamaya potency, he caused everyone to forget that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They thought he was just an ordinary child. But on this particular day, they were so attracted by the beauty of Nimai, they couldn't even chant. They couldn't even speak. They were stunned. They couldn't even blink their eyes. They were just staring with tears flowing. And Nimai came and pulled Vishwarup by the dhoti and said, "Mama is calling, come, lunchtime, come." And dragged him away. Advaita said to the devotees, "What just happened? Who is this child? The same love we have for Krishna was pouring profusely from our hearts toward this child. Who could it be?" But they could not understand. Another time, Advaita Prabhu and the devotees were chanting the holy names very loudly. So Nimai came. And they said, "Why have you come?" And he replied, "Why have you called for me?" And then he smiled, laughed, and ran away. So when Vishwarup heard the news that his parents were arranging for his marriage, he decided, I cannot live in this materialistic society. So in the middle of the night, without speaking anything to anyone, he left home and took sannyas. Very young age. At that time, Nimai tried to console his parents, who were weeping intensely. Everyone was trying to console them. And some of the relatives, they started quoting scriptures, even though their hearts were broken because Vishwarup left. They told Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, "Actually, you're most fortunate. Because when a son takes sannyas, then many thousands of generations, past and future, of all relatives are liberated from the material world. So you are most fortunate, you are liberated." But they didn't care about liberation. They just wanted Vishwarup. So one day, Jagannath Mishra decided that this study of the scriptures is very dangerous. Nimai is always studying the scriptures. He's so absorbed in studying scriptures. He's going to become like Vishwaroop. If you study the scriptures, you realize that so many of the happinesses of this material world are illusion. That ultimately you have to die and everything is lost. He's going to renounce the world and take sannyas if he keeps reading. And he's all we have. He called Nimai in the room and said, Nimai, from this day, no more study. You can do anything you want, but no studies. Hare Krishna. Now, mothers and fathers, would your children be happy if you gave them that instruction? Nimai was not happy. He decided, that I will do so much mischief that my father will surrender and let me study again. So he just went out with his friends, and they were so mischievous. According to the Shastra, whatever mischief anyone has in this world is only infinitesimal part and parcel of the mischief of Krishna. But the difference is, our mischief causes people sorrow and confusion, but his mischief causes people unlimited ecstatic bliss. So he and his friends played every game that was ever invented. And more they played. They would go during the day investigating. Where can we make the most mischief tonight when it is dark? Would you like to hear some of their excursions? They would see a very beautiful, well-attended grove of banana trees. Hare Krishna. So Nimai, with some of his friends, two or three of his friends at one time would be covered by a big white cloth so they looked like a huge bull. Huh? Then this bull, which was actually Nimai with his friends under a sheet, they would go charging into a banana grove and they would start knocking down all the trees. And the owner of the banana grove would hear all of his trees being just knocked to the ground. And he would come out, hi, hi, hi! And they would run away. He was thinking, this mysterious bull is causing so much trouble. Nimai wanted to show the world that the banana trees and the fruits of the trees, the bananas, they are all only meant for his satisfaction. This is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. That real renunciation is not to perform no work or to light no fire. Real renunciation is to work according to our particular prescribed duties and offer the fruits of our actions for the satisfaction of the Lord. Krishna told Arjuna, you are a kshatriya, you fight. But fight for me. If you're a businessman, do your business. But what is the fruit of your work? It should be utilized for the satisfaction of Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree flourishes. Krishna is the root of all that exists. If you're a mother or a father, raise your child as an offering to Krishna. Whatever we may be, the perfection of our life, samsiddhir hari toshanam, is if our efforts please Krishna. So Nimai wanted to show the world that all of the fruits of everyone's labor, all property, is mine. It is all meant for my happiness. And if I'm happy playing like a bull with my friends, knocking it down, that is the perfection of your property. Haribo. They would secretly tie down the windows and the doors of a person's house from the outside. And then they would just hide and watch. When that inevitable moment comes, when nature calls, we must respond. First she whispers, "It's time to go. It's time to serve me." Then she speaks, "Why are you taking so long?" Then she raises her voice, "I'm becoming impatient. I'm waiting for you." Then she starts screaming, "Ah, what are you doing? Get out of here. Do it, do it, do it." So these people were running, because in Vedic society, no one does these things indoors. Everyone does it outdoors. There was no toilets or latrines or any of this plumbing. It was a natural life. You go outside under the stars. It's a beautiful civilization. So they were just, they couldn't open the doors, they couldn't open the windows, and they were screaming so much inside. And we all know that what you have inside ultimately has to come out. So they were screaming at the top of their lungs, "Open the door! Open the door!" Ah! And Nimai and his friends would just laugh and laugh and laugh and run away. Hare Krishna. Nimai wanted to show the world that we are all helpless unless we loudly cry out his holy names for mercy. And on this note, forgive me, but I'll be right back. One day, Jagannath Mishra had an appointment out of town. While he was away, the neighboring ladies came with a very, very mysterious report to Sachimata. They said, "Your son Nimai, he is sitting on top of a pile of discarded old clay pots. You should see what he looks like sitting in such a dirty place." Sachimata was amazed. "Why is he doing such a thing?" She hurried to that site. And there she saw little Nimai, high up on a pot of old cooking pots. Now, you know they cook with cow dung or wood, and the clay pots would become completely covered with black. And after cooking once, they would throw it away in this pile. So Nimai, his beautiful golden complexion, was decorated with all these black spots all over his body. He looked like a beautiful golden lotus covered with black bees swarming around him. And Satchimata, she was very, very much worried. "Why are you doing this? Come down, come down." He said, "No, I will not come down." She said, "You're in a dirty place." He said, "Why are you saying this is a dirty place? These pots were used to cook for Vishnu. How could anything used for Vishnu be dirty? And besides that, Om Apavitra Apavitrovam." He didn't say that verse, but he spoke the purport, that I am all pure. Whatever I touch becomes purified. All the ladies were listening. They could not. What is he talking? Then Nimai actually entered into the mood of Dattatreya and spoke transcendental knowledge to his mother. "Whatever touches me becomes purified. How can you say that I can become impure?" And Satchimata was so much disturbed by his arguments. She's saying, "You are the son of a Brahmin. The standard of a Brahmin is cleanliness. Look at how filthy you are in such a filthy place. You come down." So Nimai, he said, "How? Tell me, how? How do you expect me to be able to discriminate between what is clean and what is dirty, what is pure and what is impure, what is right and what is wrong, if you do not let me study books?" Ah, the ladies, they took Nimai's side. "Ah, you don't let him study books? What is this? You don't let him study books?" Sachi didn't know what to say. She was surrounded. The ladies were saying, "Our children hate to study books. We have to do so much effort to get them to study. Your child loves to study, and you don't allow him to study. Who is that great enemy of yours who has convinced you to tell him to stop studying books? As far as we're concerned, we're on his side. If you don't let him study books, let him stay on his pot." Harivo. Satchimata was very embarrassed. Ultimately, she walked up all the pots and picked up Nimai and brought him home, who was just smiling very nicely. So that night, when Jagannath Mishra returned home, she said, "Our son is very unhappy. He wants to study." And the relatives explained to Jagannath Mishra that actually Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. If he wants to protect your son, if he wants your son to marry, then whether he studies or doesn't study, it will happen. So Jagannath Mishra told Nimai he could resume his studies. And he asked Nimai, "Of all the teachers in Navadvip, who do you want to study under?" Nimai wanted to study under Gangadas Pandit, disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, great, great scholar and great devotee. It was at that time that Jagannath Mishra offered the sacred thread ceremony to Nimai. And after the ceremony, Nimai manifested his incarnation of Vamanadev and went out to beg for Dakshina. Soon he became the most favorite pupil of Gangadas Pandit. He became the greatest scholar in all the world. He could present logical arguments that would bewilder even the greatest pundits' minds. He would ask someone a question, then he would refute it, and they would be defeated. Then he would establish what they originally said and ask them, "You refute me now." And they tried, and he defeated them. Then again he would refute what he had just said. It was beyond human ability. He revealed the supreme opulence of knowledge. And we know the wonderful story of Keshav Kashmiri, the Digvijay Pandit who conquered all directions. All the scholars of Navadvip were fearful of their lives. All of the reputation and glory of Navadvip was going to be plundered by this man because no one could stand before him. But Nimai, who was just a simple, small grammar student, grammar teacher, happened to be seen by the Digvijay Pandit on the bank of the Ganga. When Keshav Kashmiri saw the beauty of Nimai, his heart became very, very mysteriously attracted. And Nimai very cordially welcomed him. In the circle of many students, he said, "Oh, you are a great scholar. We have heard all about you. Undefeated." He carried a Vijay Patra. Anyone he defeated had to sign their name. So it was written in history that Keshav Kashmiri has conquered you in debate. Previously, the students told Nimai about this Digvijay Pandit. He had amassed so much prestige, fame, and wealth that when he was coming into Navadvip, he had thousands of Brahmins chanting slokas just to make his appearance auspicious. He was riding on elephants decorated with all kinds of royal paraphernalia. There were horses and chariots. There were bands playing music just to proclaim, "Digvijay Pandit is coming. Hare Krishna." Nimai looked at him, looked at his students as they continued. "It is said that whatever he speaks, Goddess Saraswati personally speaks through his tongue." Lord Chaitanya, Nimai told them that a person who has good qualities is like a tree with good fruits. A tree with good fruits always bends its head down, low, to whoever passes. But a tree with no good fruits keeps its head very high up. Similarly, a person who actually has good qualities always humbles himself before others. And wherever there is this false pride, it is a sign of a person bereft of the Lord's mercy. The Lord will never tolerate for long anyone's false pride. Look at Ravana, Nahusha, Hiranyakashipu. So many persons, they conquered universes, but because of their pride, ultimately, they were cut down. You will see very soon this Digvijay Pandit, his false prestige will be cut down inevitably by the will of the Lord. So Nimai, when he saw Digvijay Pandit, honored him very graciously. Oh, you are such a good scholar. Please recite poetry in glorification of the Mother Ganga. Within moments, he composed such a poem. Over 100 verses, he just composed right on the spot in what appeared to be perfect Sanskrit vocabulary, meter, and grammar. It was a masterpiece of poetry, right on the spot. The students, they were overwhelmed. They were gasping in an astonishment. How could anyone write such poetry? And Nimai, he said, this is very good. He said, your poetry is so advanced that no one can even understand what it means. This is part of scholarships. You speak in such vocabulary that people, they don't know what you're talking about. They just know that you're something very great. So then Nimai said to him, now please explain the good qualities as well as the faults of your poem. Ah, no faults in my poem. I have never made a fault. Flawless. So Nimai pointed out the faults. And he tried to argue, and Nimai defeated him totally. He asked how Nimai actually recited the verses that had the faults. He said, how did you remember? I recited those verses 100 like the raging wind. Nimai said, just as you have been gifted by God with the ability to compose, I have been gifted with the ability to remember whatever I hear. So Keshav Kashmiri was defeated by this child. And when he tried to respond, a miracle took place. His mind became completely blank. He could not even remember his own name, who he was, where he was, what he was doing, what to speak of arguing with Nimai. He was utterly bewildered. He tried to speak, but he could not get a single sound out of his mouth. Seeing him dazed and confused in this situation, all the children began to laugh at him. But Nimai, to protect his dignity, told them, do not laugh. So Nimai saw that he was really in a predicament. So he said, actually, your poem was very nice. You must be tired, because you recited so much beautiful, beautiful creative art. Now you go home, you study your books tonight, and you could try to answer my questions tomorrow. So Keshav Kashmiri walked away, went home. He was in total distress. What happened? I have conquered and debate the greatest scholars in all directions, and here is a little child who's a grammar teacher, and he defeated me. I received a boon from the goddess Saraswati that any time I open my mouth, she will appear and speak through me. What happened? Did I make some offense to her? He was so confused. He worshipped Saraswati, begging her for some understanding of why she was displeased with him. Then he went to sleep. And his worshipable goddess Saraswati appeared to him. She told him that you are my devotee and you prayed for benediction for me. But my real benediction was not that you become a Digvijay pundit, a great scholar, and you impress and attract people all over the world by your scholarship. That was not the real benediction I gave you. Because you are my devotee, the real benediction I gave you was I led you to have darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nimai Pandit is Krishna himself, the Supreme Master of all masters, the creator of all existence. I am the menial maidservant of Nimai. Whatever knowledge I have given you, I have received from him. He is the reservoir of all pleasure. Now you become humble and you surrender to him. That is the boon that I give you. The next morning, Keshav Kashmiri went right to Nimai's house alone. He renounced his entourage of thousands of glorifiers. When Nimai came to his door, Keshav Kashmiri fell at his feet, weeping, begging for mercy. Nimai said, "What happened to you? Why are you doing like this?" He said, "Saraswati told me everything. You are my Lord, you are my Master, I surrender to you." Nimai told him that the perfection of life is not scholarship. The perfection of life is not fame and followers and wealth. The perfection of life is devotion, humility and devotion. Never forget that. And I will bless you that you will always remember me. Keshav Kashmiri became a transcendental pure devotee. He left Navadvip in his bare feet all alone, renouncing all of these distractions, where he lived the rest of his life immersed in the thought of his beloved Lord, Sri Nimai. The devotees, how much difficulty they had in dealing with Nimai. Because they loved him more than anything else in life, but they didn't understand who he was, and it was so difficult to be near him because he never talked about Krishna. He would just challenge them to all kinds of logical debates. One day he saw Gadadhar, and Gadadhar was thinking, "I have to run away." And he grabbed Gadadhar by the hand. He said, "Gadadhar, I have a question for you." Gadadhar said, "What is your question?" "What is the meaning of liberation, mukti?" He said, "Liberation means to be free from all the sufferings of the limitations of this world." Nimai said, "No, that is not the meaning of liberation." And everything Gadadhar said, Nimai would just tear to pieces, logically, grammatically, and philosophically. And Gadadhar just wanted to hear about Krishna. He was just thinking in his mind, "How can I escape from this situation?" And after some time, Nimai said, "All right, Gadadhar, you can go home now, study your books, and tomorrow I will have more questions for you." One day, Nimai was walking along the pathway with his students, and there was Mukunda Dutt. He saw Mukunda Dutt coming. Then Mukunda Dutt saw him coming, and he ran the other way. So Nimai asked his friends, "Why did he run the other way, Mukunda?" And they said, "He must have some pressing appointment somewhere else." He said, "No, that is not the reason. It's because he only likes to hear about Krishna. He doesn't like to hear anything except Krishna." Then he started crying out to Mukunda, said, "Mukunda, you just wait someday. You don't like to be with me because I don't talk about Krishna, but someday you and all the devotees and all the demigods will never leave my lotus feet because you will be constantly in my association chanting the glories of Krishna." The devotees, they could not understand. I mean, not devotees, students. The students could not understand. What is he saying? The devotees' priority was to perform kirtan with the singular prayer in their heart, "Krishna, O Srimati Radharani, please, our heartfelt prayer offered, make Nimai a devotee. We can't give up his association, but we can't come near him." One day Nimai was walking from the Ganga and he saw Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was senior in age, approximately the age of Nimai's father. So Srivas said to Nimai, "Why do you waste your time with this mundane scholarship? It will all end at the time of death. It is all just perpetuating illusion. Why don't you take to the chanting of the names of Krishna and hearing the glories of Krishna?" And Nimai, with folded hands, said, "I have a few more things to do, but because I have received the blessings of a great devotee like you, someday you will see I will become Krishna's devotee." He wanted to reveal to the world that no one can enter into the realm of devotional service without the heartfelt blessings of the Vaishnavas. The very favorite disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Srila Ishwara Puri Pad, came to visit Navadvip. He stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya. Gadadhar Pandit was his very, very favorite student. One day he was walking along the Ganga, and Nimai approached him. By this time, Nimai was married. His first wife, Lakshmi Devi, left her body when he went to Bangladesh. And Sachi Mata remarried him to Vishnupriya, the goddess of fortune, Bhu Devi. So Nimai invited Ishwara Puri to his home. And there Nimai personally fed him with his own hands and heard Ishwara Puri speak the glories of Krishna. During that visit, Nimai accepted Ishwara Puri as a very, very, very exalted Vaishnava. Shortly after that, on the excuse of going to Gaya to perform the Shraddha for his father, in the Gadadhar Vishnu temple, he happened to meet Ishwara Puri. It was at that time that Lord Chaitanya revealed the ecstatic bhava of Srimati Radharani from his heart. Upon seeing the footprints of Lord Vishnu and hearing the Brahmins glorifying the lotus feet of the Lord, profuse rivers of tears flowed from his eyes in ecstasy. It was there in Gaya that Lord Chaitanya requested Ishwarapuri to give him initiation into the Vaishnav Sampradaya, giving him the 10-syllable mantra for Lord Krishna. Ishwarapuri became the spiritual master of the Lord. Ishwarapuri understood who he was. He said to Nimai, "When I first saw you in Navadweep, my love for you was not different than my love for Krishna. Therefore, I understand your true identity. You are asking me for initiation. You are my supreme eternal master. But as your servant, I will become your spiritual master." After the initiation ceremony, Nimai humbly served Ishwarapuri with menial offerings. He cooked for him, he cleaned for him, he served him, he massaged him. And Ishwarapuri gave him the order that you should take the name of Krishna and you should broadcast it to the world. Never stop chanting Hare Krishna. It is the only hope for human civilization. Nimai took that order from his spiritual master as his life and soul. It was only after receiving the order to promote the Sankirtan movement that Nimai began his great mission. One late at night after the initiation ceremony, Nimai just left his comrades who came with him and went running to Vrindavan. Nobody knew where he disappeared from. He was running and running to Vrindavan. Now he has accepted a guru. He has accepted ecstatic love in the chanting of the holy names. It was manifesting. He wanted to go back home to Vrindavan. As he was rushing to Vrindavan, just in a trance of ecstatic love and separation, the demigods spoke from the higher planets. They said, "Nimai, now is not the time to go to Vrindavan. You have descended into this world to promote the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy names. Now you return to Navadweep. You establish the chanting amongst your devotees and spread it throughout the world. And later on you could go to Vrindavan. Please forgive us for speaking this, but it is our duty to remind you of your mission." So Nimai understood, and he went back to Gaya, and along with his friends returned to Navadweep. Many relatives, friends, and devotees came to Sachimata's house to greet him. When the devotees saw the ecstatic transformations of love of God upon him, they were struck with wonder. Nimai brought some of the devotees into a secluded place and revealed his heart. That when I went to Gaya, I saw the lotus feet of Vishnu. As soon as he talked about the lotus feet of Vishnu, immediately all of the ecstatic symptoms of love of God manifested in his body like had never been seen before in the world. Torrents of tears horripilations, choked up voice, hair standing on end, changing of colors, bodily trembling. The devotees were amazed. He said, I saw Krishna, but then he disappeared. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He fell to the ground. He said, I will tell you the secrets of my heart tomorrow. So Sriman Pandit, the next day, as he was picking flowers from the Kalpa Briksha vine of Srivas Thakur, told the devotees at Suklambar Brahmachari's house today, Nimai, who has become a Vaishnav, is going to reveal his heart to us. So Nimai was revealing his ecstasies of love and separation. The devotees rejoiced, the fulfillment of all their prayers. From that day on, none of the devotees could part from the association of Lord Chaitanya for even a moment without suffering intense separation of love. Throughout the day, he was performing Sankirtan with his devotees. Nityananda Prabhu came from Vrindavan to join him in his Harinam Sankirtan movement. Advaita Prabhu came from Shantipur to join him in his Sankirtan movement. Day after day after day they were chanting. One day, Nimai was walking down the street and he heard someone chanting thousand names of Vishnu. And when he heard the name Narasingadev, he became so ecstatic, he manifested his bhav of Lord Narasingha. He started roaring, where are the atheists? I will destroy you. Picked up a stick. People were terrified. They were running and she was roaring. Then he came to his external consciousness and he felt ashamed. He said to Srivas Thakur, I offended all these people. I scared them. Srivas said, no, no, no. Anyone who saw you in that ecstatic mood of Lord Narasingadev is liberated from all the miseries of material world forever. Just after that, Nimai was with his devotees. He said, we are chanting Harinam all day long, but we're wasting the whole night sleeping. Every moment is so precious. From now on, it is my desire, no more sleep. We will continue the kirtan throughout the night, every night for the next year. Hare Krishna. So, the devotees were excited because they knew with the order comes the empowerment to follow it. Before beginning this historical Nam Sankirtan in the house of Srivas, Nimai explained how they could actually be in the proper consciousness to constantly chant the holy names. He instructed them in one particular verse, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in this particular context calls the crest jewel of verses. Nimai told his associates that we should chant in a mood of being more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way, we can chant the holy names of Krishna constantly. Trinadas bi sunichena taror iva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sada. String this verse on the necklace of the holy name and wear it always. By remembering this verse and living by this principle, we will be protected from all dangers. What is the greatest danger? To forget Krishna. To be unfaithful to the service of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally demonstrated by his own example the supreme opulence of humility. He always loved to serve his devotees. He wanted to show the world there is no greater position than being the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees. He would wash their clothes. He would touch their feet. He would bow down to them. He would carry loads for them. He would serve them in all menial ways. Just to show that the holy name will manifest in our hearts only when we live by this principle of Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Ivasahishna. From that night on, all night long in the house of Srivas was Harinam Sankirtan. They locked the windows and locked the doors, so only the intimate associates of the Lord could attend. Because these kirtans were of such a high level of confidential love that the common people could not understand. The Ras Leela of Vrindavan was being reenacted every night in the house of Srivas. According to Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Srivasangam was the Rasa Stali of Krishna's Leela in Navadvip. The materialistic people, especially the high-born, educated Brahmins, they were very offended that we were not allowed in. So they would make all blasphemous remarks. We know why they don't let us in, because we are learned Brahmins. We are pious and pure in heart. And they're rogues and thieves. If we see what they're doing, they will be exposed for their degraded acts. During the day, they find innocent virgin girls and they hypnotize them and bring them to the house of Srivas. And then at night, they have all kinds of obscene sense gratification. They chant black tantric mantras. They drink wine and all kinds of alcoholic beverages. And in this state, all we could do was hear them just howling and howling and howling so loud, creating a disturbance, a nuisance. What will the Muslim king do to this Navadvip when they hear about this? We'll all be punished because they're violating the rules of the state. We can't even sleep at night. What's the purpose of life? To make money so that you can enjoy the facilities of the world with your loved ones. That's the purpose of life. How can we make money when we can't sleep? They're just screaming all night. Why are they screaming all night? Because they're drunk and they're hungry. They're just beggars. Knock down the house of Srivas. Throw it in the Ganga with Srivas and all the rest of them with them. And when there would be some pious person who would say, why are you speaking like this? Ah, he's one of them! Get him, get him! The person would have to run away to escape. But when Srivas and Lord Chaitanya and the others would hear about these things, they would just laugh and continue their Harinam Sankirtan throughout the night. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approached by the pious people who begged for his mercy, and he instructed all of them that there is no greater wealth than love of God. And the price of love of God is the sincere chanting of the holy names. He induced hundreds and thousands of people to chant Harinam. So we will begin class now. If you want, you can stand up for a minute, just so that you're more awake. Stand up, please. Now you can sit down. If you like. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, should I continue after Arti? Huh? Should I continue now, or would you like to have Kirtan and Arti and then continue? How many would like to have Arti and then continue? How many wish for me to continue just now? I think you just want to get it over with. Like King Nirga. He wanted to get the pain out of the way so he could enjoy. So, we were explaining how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed by his example what is a devotee. Krishna told us how to attain the perfection of life, but in his role of Lord Chaitanya, he is teaching by his own personal example how to achieve the goal of life. That is the glory of Mahaprabhu. He appears in the role of a devotee. What incredible mercy! The Supreme Lord of all is following the regulative principles of bhakti very strictly just to show us how to do it. If anyone were to address him as Lord Vishnu, Narayan, or Krishna, he would hold his ears in pain and cry out, Vishnu, Vishnu, save me! No living entity can ever become God. We are eternally part and parcel of God. We are all eternally the servants of the Lord. This impersonalistic Mayavad conception of becoming one with God makes it impossible to grasp the true essence of love. For there to be love, there must be the lover and the beloved. To disregard Krishna's supreme, all-attractive form is to cheat ourselves of the ultimate treasure of life. To think that God's pastimes are a temporary illusion, His form is a temporary illusion, His qualities, His abode, are not ultimately real, is the greatest offense to the heart of a devotee. In fact, a devotee's heart breaks when he hears this. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show us the mood of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. On very special occasions, to his most intimate associates, he would briefly reveal his supreme opulence as Krishna. One day, he was walking along the bank of Ganga, and he saw some cows with their tails raised, jumping up and down and playing very nicely. Seeing the cows, he remembered Krishna in such an intimate way that he just started crying out, "I am he! I am he!" And he ran to the house of Srivas. And Srivas was in his puja room worshipping Lord Narsingadev. Because the blasphemous people of the town were threatening that the king is sending boats of soldiers to arrest Srivas and all the devotees for transgressing the law by loudly chanting the Hindu names. So Srivas was worried for the devotees' welfare, so he was worshipping Narsingadev. At that time, Lord Chaitanya just broke open the door. And Srivas turned around, and there was Nimai. And Nimai said, "That Lord you are worshipping has come before you." Then he revealed his forearm form of Narayan and told Srivas to offer me prayers. Srivas offered beautiful prayers. And then the Lord, who was manifesting his Narayan form, told Srivas, "Bring all your family members and your servants and maidservants." He personally placed his lotus feet on all of their heads and gave them all ecstatic love of God. On another occasion, he was walking down the street and he heard the names of Lord Vishnu and the name of Varahadev, Sukar. He ran to the house of Murari Gupta and said, "Murari, behold my transcendental form." And Murari Gupta looked at him, and he had transformed into Varahadev, the boar incarnation. And he picked up a little water pot that Murari Gupta used for worship and put it on his tusks, representing his saving the earth, and told Murari Gupta, "Offer me the prayers of your heart." So on these special intimate occasions, sometimes the Lord revealed his supreme identity. But in general, he would sing like the devotees, he would dance like the devotees, he would serve his devotees, he would bow down to his devotees. He would not allow the devotees to worship him. But knowing their innermost desires, he performed Mahaprakash Lila. Shall we discuss? One day, Lord Chaitanya, accompanied by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, entered the house of Srivas Thakur. On this day, the Lord was in a trance with his beautiful lotus-like eyes. He was gazing in the four directions. The devotees understood something very special is going to happen. And right before all the devotees' eyes, Lord Chaitanya walked up to the throne of Vishnu on the altar of Srivas's house, put the shalagram shilas on his lap, and sat on the throne. Smiling, he looked upon the devotees and instructed them, "Sing the song of Abhishek." Devotees understood what he meant. He was going to allow them to perform the Abhishekam, which is the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Immediately they started getting water. Water from the Ganges. They filtered it through very fine, precious cloth. They mixed in the water very, very auspicious scents like camphor and sandalwood, musk, kumkum, aguru. Nityananda Prabhu began by pouring the water over the head of Lord Gauranga. The devotee, Mukunda Dat, was singing the Abhishekam song. Amongst the response of all the devotees' voices of love, other devotees sang the Purusha Shukta prayers. These are the prayers that the demigods offer to Vishnu when they invite him to incarnate in this world. After Nityananda Prabhu poured the water over the Lord's head, next was Advaitacharya, and then Srivas, and all the intimate associates were offering Abhishekam to Lord Chaitanya. According to the general standards, 108 pots of water worshipped the deities. But on this day, there was no limit to the devotees' love, and there was no limit to how Lord Gauranga was going to accept their love. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pots of Ganga water were brought in to bathe Lord Chaitanya. One simple, poor maidservant of Srivas, whose name was Duki, was lining up, carrying the water pots of Ganga and making them in nice, neat lines so the devotees could easily have access to them. Duki means one who is miserable. She was in the background. She wasn't one of the devotees. She wasn't one of the Lord's associates. She was just the maidservant of the servant of the servant. Just in the background, just doing some menial service to help the devotees in pleasing the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes note of anyone's sincere efforts to serve his servants. The Supreme Master of all the devatas was glancing upon this little lady named Duki, seeing her sincere efforts, He was so pleased. He asked Srivas, what is her name? Her name is Duki. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the name Duki does not sit properly in my heart. From this day on, her name will be
Suki.
And in giving her the name Suki, he gave her the ultimate treasure of Krishna Prema, the ecstasy of the spiritual world. In this incident, Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that anyone who is dear to his devotees attains his supreme fortune. Who is Duki? Uneducated, simple, unknown. But she was sincere to serve the Lord's devotees. The Lord gave her the ultimate wealth of Krishna consciousness. So the Abhishekam was going on for hours and hours. Then the devotees, they dried his body with silken cloths. They placed garments upon him. Very fine, beautiful garments. Then they got all sorts of ornaments and decorations. They offered him Padya, Aragya, Madhupark, Achaman. Then they offered him incense, the ghee lamp, flowers, chamara, peacock fan. They gave him full arti of worship. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very pleased with them, he looked at his devotees and said, please give me bhoga. Some devotees came and brought him a pot of yogurt. Within a moment he drank it. Give me more. They brought him some sandesh. Then they brought him condensed milk. Then they brought him coconuts, then bananas. As soon as they brought it, he ate it. Devotees were just gathering whatever they could get. Thousands of bananas. Thousands of pots of yogurt. Thousands of pots of condensed milk. Thousands of pots of sweetmeats. Thousands of buckets of Ganges water. And as soon as they put it in his hand, he ate it. The devotees were in ecstasy. The devotees were running village to village and buying everything that was being sold that was offerable to the Lord and just running back and offering it to him, and he ate it. He ate more than what thousands and thousands of people could have possibly consumed. And he was smiling and kept saying, give me more. The devotees were feeling all of their desires being fulfilled. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to each of his devotees what their previous lives were in the past, what their eternal identities were. This all took place in the house of Srivas. Lord Chaitanya turned to Srivas Thakur. Srivas, do you remember? You went to the academy of Devananda Pandit. There you were listening to the Pandit reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. As you were hearing the ambrosial words of Shukadev Goswami, your heart became filled with love. Uncontrollably, you became choked up and began to cry. The students of Devananda Pandit, who were great fools, they could not understand that you were in ecstasy. They picked you up, took you outside, and just dropped you on the ground. And that rascal Devananda Pandit, their guru, he did not stop them. If the teacher does not correct the student, he is responsible for the behavior of the student. Do you remember? You came to your external consciousness and you were laying in the dirt on the ground. You felt very great lamentation. Then you went home, and every time you picked up the Bhagavatam, something mysterious took place. Tears flowed from your eyes. Your voice would falter. Your heart would be overwhelmed in ecstasy every time you read the Bhagavatam. Do you know why that happens, Srivas? Because I personally descended from Vaikuntha to enter into your heart personally and fill your heart with ecstatic love every time you hear my names and glories. When Srivas Thakur heard this, he fell to the ground unconscious in ecstatic love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, "Do not be unhappy. You should know that I am always in your heart. And whatever love you feel, you shouldn't feel embarrassed. You shouldn't feel ashamed. You should know that it is my love manifesting in your heart." Then Lord Chaitanya addressed that personality who was previously his teacher and who now was his devotee, Gangadas Pandit. Do you remember Gangadas? Long before I even took birth in this world, the Malecha king, he and his soldiers were plundering people's property and exploiting the women. In order to protect your wife and children, you had to escape from your home. The soldiers were coming closer and closer. You ran in the middle of the night to the Ganges. The soldiers were approaching. You understood that if you do not escape, they will violate the chastity of your good wife. This was worse than death for you. You were looking for a boatman, but because it was late at night, there was no boats to be found. In great anxiety, you decided to give up your life rather than be polluted. I was watching you. At that moment, do you know what I did, Gangadas? I personally descended from Vaikuntha Loka and took the form of a boatman. And you saw me rowing my boat. And you cried out, "Boatman, boatman, boatman, please come. Save me, save my family. I'll give you everything I have." At that time, I took you across the river for safety. Do you remember this, Gangadas? In the gratitude of love Ganga Das felt at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, weeping in love. Bring Sridhar. Who is Sridhar? Lord Chaitanya told the devotees that Sridhar, all night long, he's loudly chanting the holy names. You just go out in this direction and you'll hear him chanting from a distance away. Follow that sound to his house and bring him to me. The devotees went outside. They walked in the direction of Simantadweep. There they heard from a distance the loud chanting of the holy name. They came closer and closer. Then they approached the house of Kolabecha Sridhar. In order to properly understand this narration, it will be of great value to speak briefly about the relationship that Kolabecha Sridhar previously had with the Lord. Sridhar was by material calculation suffering terrible poverty. He would buy some bananas. He would cut banana trunks, cut banana leaves, and have some bananas and sell them. Whatever little profit he would make from that, first thing he would do, he would take 50% of whatever little tiny made and offer bhoga to Mother Ganga. Whatever little remained, he somehow or other sustained. Kolabecha Sridhar was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He never lied. He never cheated. And those who did business with him knew this. Therefore, whatever price he quoted for his banana stems, leaves, and bananas, they understood was the fairest, lowest possible price that he could survive with. So no one ever, ever bargained with him. He was such a simple person. Except for Lord Chaitanya and some of the devotees, no one even knew his name. Everyone just addressed him as Kolabecha, the banana seller. Every single day, when Nimai was just a small boy, and when he was a grammar teacher growing up, he would come to the shop of Kolabecha Sridhar. He didn't actually have a shop. He just sat on the side of the road. Nimai would ask, "How much is this banana? How much is this banana leaf? How much are these banana flowers? Kaulavaitya Sridhar would tell him the price. Why are you cheating me? I will give you half price. Then he would pick up the banana and give him half the coins. Kaulavaitya very respectfully would take it back. No, you are stealing from Brahmins? Lord Chaitanya would take it back. Kaulavaitya Sridhar would say, Nimai, I'm giving you the most honest price. Why are you harassing me in this way? He said, no, you are cheating me. I will not give you half. I will take it for free. In this way, they would argue. Loving, affectionate argument. One day, Nimai said to Kaulavaitya Sridhar, he said, you are presenting yourself in a way that's cheating the whole world. Sridhar was so honest. He's so simple. He said, what are you saying? He said, you are a man of great wealth, but you are hiding it from the world. What do you mean? Someday I will reveal to the world the great treasure you are concealing. Then he took all of his banana leaves and left. Another day he came to Sridhar. He said, Sridhar, why do you worship Krishna? What is he doing for you? Be realistic. Look, all these devotees, they don't worship God at all, or they worship some demigod, or they worship Manasi, the snake goddess. They have good food. They have good fat bellies. They have nice homes and good dress and ornaments. And look at you. Sridhar said, What's wrong with me? Look at your clothes. Those aren't clothes. There's more holes in your clothes than there are clothes. And sometimes Sridhar would just have these patches, and in some places he didn't even have thread to patch. He would just tie the two sides of the holes together into a knot. He said, these are rags. And look at your house. That's not a house. It's just a straw shack. The thatched roof can't even keep the rain out of your house. You have no furniture. You have no utensils. Look. And look at your body. It's emaciated. You have no proper nourishment. What is Krishna giving you? Why do you go on chanting Krishna's name? Sridhar told Nimai, said, I have come to learn in my life that the king has royal foods, beautiful dress, luxurious palace, and the bird is just covered with simple feathers, lives in a nest of grass, and just eating some berries from the trees. But really, what is the difference? Time is passing in the same way for both the king and the bird. I am satisfied chanting the names of Krishna. I have everything. Nimai would challenge, oh, you worship Krishna? You worship Lord Vishnu, huh? And you offer your 50% of all your wealth to Mother Ganga? So why you are debating over price with me? I am the master of Ganga. The river Ganga is emanating from my lotus feet. Sridhar held his ears. He said, what are you saying? What are you saying? You are declaring yourself to be Vishnu, the father of Ganga? Nimai, Usually when young children grow older, they become less restless. But you're becoming more restless with every day. Nimai would take the bananas. Kulavetra Sridhar would be afraid. If I don't give it to this Brahmin, he may hit me. But anyways, what is the loss? Giving in charity to a Brahmin is very nice. Do you know every single meal that Lord Chaitanya took at home, he would not eat unless that meal was served on the banana leaves that he stole from Kulavetra Sridhar. How he loved Sridhar. It was Lord Chaitanya's regulation every day for minimum 2 full hours he would argue with Kulavetra Sridhar. Such a fortunate personality. The Kulavetra Sridhar for 12 hours continuously from sunset to sunrise he would loudly chant the holy names every night. The materialistic neighbors, they were so disturbed by this. Could you imagine if we did that here? Just a half hour Mangal Arati creates such disturbance. The neighbors of Kulavetra Sridhar were so disturbed. We cannot sleep. He just screams all night. We know why he screams. Because he worships Krishna. And Krishna's doing nothing for him. He doesn't even have food. The man is starving. He's screaming due to the intense pain of his belly. Sometimes they would just throw a pumpkin at him and say, "Eat, shut up." They would blaspheme him, ridicule him. But Kulavetra Sridhar was so happy. So happy. He was not the slightest bit concerned what anyone thought of him. Because in pure love and devotion, he was constantly in unity with the Supreme All-Attractive Lord through the chanting of the holy names. When the devotees came to Sridhar's little thatched hut, they said, "Sridhar, Lord Chaitanya is calling for you." Sridhar was so humble. At this time he knew Lord Chaitanya's supreme identity. He cried out, "He's calling for me? Why would he call for me?" This is the qualification of one who deserves the Lord's mercy. That you do not think that you deserve it. The devotees are humble. They never feel themselves qualified. They never consider that they deserve the causeless mercy of the Lord. They never demand or expect anything except the opportunity to just serve his servants. That was Sridhar's mentality. He fainted just at the thought that Lord Chaitanya wanted to see him. The devotees had to pick him up. And they brought him to Srivasangam, which is a long distance. He came before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, you have come. I have called for you because you are always calling for me." Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, "Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham." As you approach the Lord reciprocates accordingly. When with great feeling we call for Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and calls for us. Kulavecha Sridhar offered his prostrated obeisances to the Lord. And he said, "My Lord, please forgive me. I am a dog. I am the lowest, most fallen, most sinful. I am the least significant. Please forgive me." The humility of Kulavecha Sridhar melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a darshan that captivated everyone's heart. Kulavecha Sridhar saw with his eyes that Lord Gauranga's form turned to the complexion of a dark tamal tree. He had a beautiful crown on his head, bedecked with a peacock feather. His beautiful lotus eyes glanced lovingly upon Sridhar. He stood in a threefold bending form, holding a flute. At his right side, Sridhar saw Lord Balaram, whose complexion was like a newly formed spring cloud. Krishna and Balaram were being served by the supreme goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, with a tray of betel nuts for them to chew. Then Sridhar saw the beautiful Kadamba trees, the river Jamuna, the forests of Vrindavan. And there was his worshipable lords, Krishna Balaram. Sukadev Goswami, Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, they were all offering prayers. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the principal demigods with folded palms were offering praise to Krishna Balaram. Beautiful celestial ladies from the spiritual world, thousands and thousands of them were singing the glories of Lord Gauranga. Upon seeing this merciful darshan, Kulavecha Sridhar fainted in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sridhar with his lotus hand, reviving his consciousness. He said, "Sridhar, rise, rise. Offer prayers to me." Sridhar responded, "I am not an educated man. I am the greatest fool. I do not know any prayers. I have no ability to offer prayers to you, my Lord." Lord Chaitanya said to Sridhar, "Just speak whatever is in your heart. Kolavecha Sridhar opened his mouth to speak. As soon as he opened his mouth, Lord Chaitanya petitioned Goddess Saraswati to enter onto his tongue. For what purpose? To give him the eloquence to truly express through words the love of his heart. All glories to Satchinandana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared from the womb of Mother Sachi. All glories to the Lord of all of existence who has descended as the Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. You have come to distribute your own holy names in this age of Kali. My dear Lord, I am a great fool, but you are so merciful. The ultimate crest jewel of all treasures, pure devotional service, always resides within your body. And now, you have taken that essence of your own heart, and you have placed it into the city of Navadvip for all to see. The great treasure of pure devotional service. But I am so unfortunate. I have no faith. I have no devotion. The power of bhakti is the supreme of all energies. Why? Because, my dear Lord, you are conquered by the power of bhakti. And now you are distributing it freely to everyone. It is that bhakti that gave Bhishma Dev the power to defeat you on the battle of Kurukshetra, battlefield of Kurukshetra. It is the power of bhakti. By which Mother Yashoda bound you with the ropes of her love and you were helplessly imprisoned. It is the power of pure devotional service that Satyabhama purchased you, treated you like a hen-pecked husband. Those are Prabhupada's words. She wanted the Parijata flower? Not flower, tree. In order to take that tree for Satyabhama, you fought a major war against Indra and the demigods. For the pleasure of your devotee. It is the power of pure devotional service that you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the universes, all the energies within the cosmic manifestation are emanating from your thoughts. And yet, Sridhama, who is a simple gopa, defeats you by the power of his devotion. And admitting defeat under this cowherd boy, you carry him on his shoulder to show all of Brajbhumi that he is victorious. I am defeated by the love of my devotees. My dear Lord, this is the greatest mystery, the ultimate secret, and the greatest treasure of all the revealed scriptures. That you are conquered by the love of your devotees. Any devotee who begs for pure devotional service defeats you. You become subordinate to that devotee. Any devotee who has faith in pure bhakti, you are eternally controlled by his love. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with the prayers of Kolavecha Sridhar. Sridhar said, "But I am so unfortunate. There is not even a trace of love within my heart. I have no devotion. But still, out of your causeless mercy, you are allowing me to see you." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorifying his devotee, he exclaimed, "Sridhar, ask me for a boon, any boon. I will give you all the 8 mystic perfections. Just ask of me." Sridhar said, "My Lord, I do not want anything from you. I do not want to do business with you. I am satisfied just singing your glories. I am perfectly happy just chanting your names. There's nothing more that I desire." Lord Chaitanya said, "You must ask a boon. Ask, ask. I want to give you something. Please, whatever is in your heart, ask. I will make you a king. I will give you an entire kingdom." "My Lord, what use is a kingdom to me? I will give you all mystic perfections. My Lord, this will just be a disturbance. I will give you liberation, elevation to the spiritual world. Ask anything." Kolavecha Sridhar said, "I am happy chanting your names. I do not want anything more from you." Lord Chaitanya said that you are making me very unhappy. I want to give you something. Ask. Ask for a boon. Kolavecha Sridhar replied, "My Lord, if it makes you happy, then grant me this boon. Let that little boy Nimai, who would come and steal my bananas and banana leaves, let him be my supreme master, birth after birth after birth. Let that Nimai, who would sometimes give me a few coins, who would argue with me for 2 hours every day, let me forever be the servant of the servant of his servants. The only boon I ask, my Lord, is this. Let me forever be the servant of the servant of the servant of that little boy who comes to steal my bananas, and let those pastimes forever be enacted in my heart. And let me always please you by singing your holy names." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smiling, he said, "Sridhar, I grant your boon. On this day, I award you pure, unalloyed devotional service." the devotees were so thrilled with happiness to see the good fortune of Kolaveitra Sridhar, they cried out, Jai! Jai!
Jai! Jai!
What is the greatest pleasure of a devotee? To see another devotee getting the mercy of the Lord. What is the greatest pain to a devotee? To see another devotee suffering without the mercy of the Lord. By this criteria, we could understand to what extent we are truly devotees. Vrindavan Das Thakur gives a boon. Anyone who sincerely hears this story with faith will be given the supreme treasure of pure love of God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his eternal associate from the spiritual world and made him into a poverty-stricken, simple banana seller to show the world. That he is never pleased by anything other than devotion. Material wealth, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, there are kings who amass great empires, birth after birth after birth, but the Lord will not accept anything they offer. If they do not have pure devotion. There are scholars who are very, very advanced in education. There are charismatic people who have thousands or millions of followers serving them, honoring them, worshiping them. There are people of very high and noble births. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world that material opulences only inflate and perpetuate the greatest disease of false pride. Unless one understands his or her eternal nature. As the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya wanted to reveal this truth to the world by casting Kolaveitra Sridhar in this very, very materially difficult situation. Kolaveitra Sridhar, he did not want, he did not need anything in life. He was satisfied just chanting God's names and associating with God's devotees. And anyone who finds their satisfaction in life in these principles conquers the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Advaitacharya. Nara, ask for a boon. Advaitacharya, he's watching these darshans of the Lord. He said, my Lord, I have attained what I prayed for. You have descended, and now you are revealing your supreme position. Lord Chaitanya turned to Murari Gupta. Murari, look! Murari looked. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful golden form transformed into that of Sri Ramchandra. His body took on the complexion of fresh green durva grass. He was sitting in Virasan. holding a bow, a golden bow in his hand. And on his shoulder was a quiver of arrows. On either side of him was Sita and Lakshman. Then Murari Gupta looked down and he saw that he had a tail. He looked at his body and he had been transformed into a monkey. Murari Gupta fell to the ground unconsciousness in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya awakened him by the words, "Oh monkey! That thief has stolen Sita! He lit your tail on fire! And then you burned out his entire city and destroyed his empire with that fire! Look! Look! Here is Lakshman! The shelter of your life! You saved Lakshman's life. In his loving service, you lifted the Gandhamadana mountain with the herbs to take for him. Bow down. Bow down at the lotus feet of Sita Devi. Do you remember? Seeing her torment in the Ashoka Grove, in the kingdom of Ravana, you shed a shoreless ocean of tears out of love for her. I am Ramchandra. You are Hanuman, my eternal servant. Today, by the power of my mercy, I give you remembrance of this." Murari Gupta fainted. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Murari Gupta, "Please accept a boon from me. What would you like?" Murari Gupta, with such genuine humility, he prayed to the Lord, "I do not have anything to ask from you." The Lord insisted, "Please accept a boon from me." Murari Gupta replied, "I don't want anything except this. Let me forever sing your names and glories. Let me never ever forget you. Birth after birth after birth, give me the boon that I will always be in the association of your devotees." That devotee who understands that you are the master and they are your servant, "Let me forever be in the association. Let me be the servant of the servant of the servant of such a servant." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu granted him his wish. "Murari Gupta, I grant you the boon that you will always be dear to the life of all the Vaishnavas. You will never forget me. You will always be singing my holy names. And whenever I incarnate in this world, you will be my loving associate." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to the devotees, "Murari Gupta is a simple grihastha. He's a medical doctor. But if anyone thinks him to be an ordinary doctor or an ordinary householder, if anyone offends Murari Gupta, there's nothing they can do to purify themselves. Even if they bathe in the Ganges millions of times or chant the holy names of Hari millions of times, they will not be delivered. Why? Because the Supreme Lord Murari is always secretly, Gupta, living in the heart of Murari Gupta. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatest joy was to praise the glories of his devotees. Anyone who hears this narration with faith and devotion will attain pure love and devotion in the spirit of the servant, of the servant, of the servant. Lord Chaitanya called out, Haridas, your body is better than mine. By worldly calculation, you appear to be a low-class man, born in a family of untouchables. But to me, your body is worshipable. Do you remember? Do you remember when the Mughal governor sentenced you to death? You were beaten in 22 marketplaces by those violent executioners. I could not tolerate seeing this offense. I descended from Vaikuntha with my Sudarshan chakra to sever the heads of those demons who were causing you pain. But in your heart of heart, you were not concerned with your own pain, although they were brutally, violently beating you. In your heart of hearts was only the feeling of forgiveness for them. You were lamenting seeing their condition of ignorance. You were begging me, please forgive these men and give them your mercy. The power of your love and compassion for the people who tried to kill you was so great, my chakra was powerless to move. Therefore, I personally fell on top of your body to take all the brutal beatings on myself to save your life. It was at that time that Lord Chaitanya revealed to Haridas and all the devotees horrible scars covering his beautiful golden body. The scars of his willingness to endure pain to protect his loving devotee. When Haridas Thakur saw this, overwhelmed with love, inconceivable gratitude, he fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yearns to be the servant of the servant of his servants. It is the greatest joy of the Supreme Lord, the Master of all, to serve his devotees. It is said that the ultimate title one can achieve, Das, servant, servant of the Lord and his devotees. It is only after many, many, many births of pious activities, austerities, and causeless mercy that one can actually be awarded the title of Das. Even the Lord longs for the position of servant of his devotees. We have this demoniac tendency to want to be served, to want to be glorified, to want to show how wonderful we are. And it is deeply entrenched within our hearts. What the Lord wants to reveal to us, what pleases Him, is the humble position of servant of the servant of the servant. And what will be pleasing about us to Him is the same. The Lord is willing to even endure the beatings of whips and sticks and canes to serve His devotees. Haridas Thakur fainted when he saw this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Rise, rise, Haridas! Gaze at my opulence." Haridas Thakur looked upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there he saw the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Haridas Thakur, out of humility, began to weep. "My Lord," he prayed, "please be merciful. I am a great sinner. I have taken a very low birth. Why? Because I am such a degraded, sinful person. I'm lower than a worm. I have no qualifications whatsoever. But yet, you never abandon me. Why? Because you never abandon those who remember you. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what material qualification or disqualification they may have. It doesn't matter how sinful they have been. You will never abandon one who remembers you. But I am so sinful, I am so unfortunate, that I have no power to remember you. I cannot remember you. I never remember you." Even if a worm, even if a dog, even if an insect remembers you, you will bestow your causeless mercy upon them. "But my Lord, I am so unfortunate. I cannot remember you." Draupadi, she was in the court of the Kurus, and Duryodhana and Dushasana, they decided to strip her of her integrity by tearing off her sari and humiliating her in the presence of many kings. She tried to save herself, but she was helpless. "In that condition, my Lord, she remembered you, and you descended. Because she remembered you with faith, you incarnated within her sari, and because you are unlimited, her sari became unlimited. And even the greatest heroes of the Kurus could not defeat this innocent woman." Parvati was surrounded in all four directions by blood-sucking, flesh-eating witches. They were about to kill her and devour her. But then she remembered you, my Lord. And you came. You appeared to free her from the clutches of these witches and annihilate all inauspiciousness. Your beloved devotee, Prahlad, 5-year-old child, the great conqueror Hiranyakashipu fed him deadly poison, threw him under mountains in the ocean, placed him in blazing fire, pierced him with sharpened tridents and swords. But because Prahlad remembered you, you were there to protect him. Durvas Muni was sent by Duryodhana to Kamyavan. At that time, by Duryodhana's arrangement, Durvas Muni appeared with 10,000 disciples just after she ate. Durvas Muni is easily angered. You know the story of Ambarish. He just drank a little Charanamrit water before Durvas Muni ate. And he wanted to destroy him with a fiery demon. So Pandavas knows the story of Durvas Muni's historical nature. So he came with his 10,000 disciples expecting prasad. But there was nothing left. Go take bath, please. So he went with his devotees to take bath. And Draupadi, Yudhisthira, what are we going to do? In that helpless condition, they remembered you. And my Lord, you appeared right at their doorstep and said, "Give me prasad." We don't even have anything for Krishna. You must have something. There's nothing left. Give me the pot. There was one tiny little particle stuck to the bottom of the pot. You ate that. And by your eating that, when you put water in the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. Durvas Muni and his 10,000 associates, they became bloated due to overeating. Although they didn't even see food. They were astonished. What are we going to do? We know Yudhisthira Maharaj. He's such a gracious person. He must have a gigantic, opulent feast. And we can't even... It's an offense to him if we don't put anything in our mouth. We'll lose our reputation. What are we going to do? But the Pandavas, they didn't know what happened in the bellies of Durvas. Krishna told Bhima, "Go, invite them, tell them prasad is ready." Bhima said, "Huh? There's nothing here. All there was a particle and you just ate it." He said, "No, you go." So Bhima picked up his club. And when they saw Bhima coming, Durvas Muni and all of his 10,000 followers with whatever mystic powers they could conjure up, they escaped. Because they remembered you, my Lord, you were there to bestow your causeless mercy upon them. And Ajamil, born of a Brahmin son, rejected his parents, rejected his chaste and faithful wife, became the servant of a sinful lady. Under the influence of that association, he became a horrible criminal, a thief, a highway robber. When the Yamadutas came to bring him to hell, somehow he called the name of his son, Narayan, and remembered you. You are none different than your name. In remembering you, my Lord, you bestowed your causeless mercy upon him. My Lord, whoever remembers you is never without you. But I am so unfortunate. I am so sinful that I do not remember you. Please, my Lord, please do not reject me. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, with his humility, told Haridas, ask for a boon. Haridas Thakur, there's nothing I have to ask. Ask, ask! It will make me happy. Ask! Please grant me this one boon. Everyone, please listen carefully. If you simply understand what Haridas Thakur is about to say, your life will be perfect. If we strive to deeply enter into the heart of such a Vaishnav, all the great treasures of the spiritual world will be revealed to us. Haridas Thakur prayed, I am so low, undeserving, and unqualified. I have no right to ask anything of you. But if you insist, kindly grant me this boon. In every birth that I may take, allow me to receive the remnants of the food that comes from the plate eaten by your devotees. In every birth, let me worship the remnants of the food of your devotees as my life and soul. I am so unfortunate. My heart yearns for prestige. Please, my Lord, forgive me. Let me be even a dog close to the heart of your devotee so I can achieve the remnants of his Maha-Maha-Prasad. My Lord, now I'm feeling ashamed. I must beg forgiveness from you. How could I, in my condition, ask for such an exalted benediction as this? What right do I have to ask you for something so glorious? Please forgive me, my Lord. May I always remain the servant of the servant of the servant. Again and again I beg you, just let me worship the remnants eaten by your devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Haridas. He said, Haridas, whoever sees you, whoever sits near you, whoever hears you chanting the holy name, I will grant them the great treasure of pure devotional service. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the benediction to Haridas.
Whoever even sincerely remembers you with faith. He will be the object of my mercy.
Haridas, your humility and devotion has conquered me.
You are my master. I am your servant.
By your humble chanting of the holy names,
I have become a prisoner inside of your heart. I have no power to ever leave your heart. I am a prisoner of your love.
I grant you this benediction, that without offense, for all of eternity, you will serve me and serve all of the Vaishnavas. Upon hearing this benediction, the fulfillment of all of Haridas Thakur's desires, all the devotees cried out, Jai, Jai! It is not by high birth, it is not by opulence, it is not by any material consideration that we can achieve the Lord's mercy. It is by the intense desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant, and with all humility, chant the holy names. Hanuman was born in a family
of monkeys.
Prahlad was born in a family of
demons, asuras.
And Haridas Thakur was born in a family of untouchables by social calculation. Why? The Lord wanted to show by these examples, the example, that he is pleased by those who remember him with love, irregardless of any material designations. Essentially, we are all eternal souls. Krishna is not concerned with what type of body we have, whether it's male or female, or rich or poor, or American or Russian or African or Indian or Italian, or Arabian or Iraqi. Krishna doesn't see these things. He doesn't see whether we're from high caste or low caste. He only sees our intense desire to remember him and to serve him and to serve those he loves. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Advaitacharya. Should I continue? I am your servant.
Advaita.
He was such a scholar. He was so serious. He would study the scriptures and he would preach. And everything he would preach had a singular purpose: to explain every single passage of every single scripture to glorify pure devotional service. And if ever there was a Vedic passage that he could not understand its connection to pure devotional service, he would fast feeling himself so unqualified and despondent, he would fast until he could understand. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, do you remember? You were teaching from Bhagavad Gita, and there was one sloka that you just could not understand how this refers to pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. In one sloka. Therefore, you fasted. You wouldn't eat. You were dying. Then I appeared to you in a dream, and I said, Advaita, eat! I will reveal to you the meaning of that verse at another time. You eat! So you ate. That was many years ago. Do you remember? Today I will reveal the meaning of that verse. Everywhere are his eyes, his ears, his hands, and his legs. In this way, the super soul exists. The Mayavadis, they do not relate this verse with the super soul. Everywhere his eyes, hands, legs, ears. If it's everywhere, that means they don't really exist. But the super soul, the Paramatma, the personality of Godhead, is seeing, hearing, tasting, and accepting the offerings of everyone at all times. When Advaitacharya understood how the Lord intimately understood the secrets within his mind that he never told anyone, he was overwhelmed. The Lord said, ask a boon. Advaita Prabhu, the only boon he wanted is let me sing your names and glories forever. Lord Chaitanya called all of the devotees. The devotees were singing in Tirtan. The chaste ladies, they were making wonderful, wonderful devotional sounds. Everyone had all their desires fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would glance on each and every one of them. Not only the associates, but the servants, maidservants, and servants of the servants of the maidservants, maidservants. He was granting them all the boons they asked for. One devotee prayed to the... And none of the devotees were asking anything for themselves. One devotee said, my father, he prevents me from coming here to Srivas's house to chant with you. He causes so many difficulties in my life. He's unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Please grant me the boon that my father becomes favorable. Yes, so be it. His father became a pure devotee by the Lord's mercy. Some people ask for the boon, please give bhakti to my children. Gurus were praying, please give love of God to my disciples. Please give love of God to my parents. Please give love of God to the conditioned souls. Everyone's desires were being fulfilled as Lord Chaitanya was personally calling each devotee to come before him. There was one devotee that through all these hours and hours and hours, he never even looked in the direction of, nor did he ever call him forward. Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt, in his humble condition of life, felt himself so neglected by the Lord that he was standing behind a curtain, ashamed to even come before Lord Chaitanya. He was weeping incessantly. Srivas Thakur, the lover of the Vaishnavas, came before the Lord. Please try to understand this concept. It's so deep. Every devotee there received the supreme boons that they were longing for in their hearts. Every devotee there, Lord Chaitanya was revealing to them the incarnation that they worshipped. He was giving the treasure of prema bhakti to all without discrimination on that day, except Mukunda. All the devotees present were weeping in agony to see the suffering of Mukunda. They were not thinking what I have achieved. They were thinking that Mukunda is suffering. That is my suffering. We can safely estimate that every devotee present was willing to give up all their boons for Mukunda Dutt's benefit. That is Vaishnav. That is Vaishnav society. Srivas Thakur was weeping to see Mukunda Dutt's condition. He prayed. He prayed, "My dear Lord, why are you punishing Mukunda? He will not come before you unless you call him. Why do you neglect him? Mukunda is so dear to you. He has given his life, his soul, his everything for you. You are most pleased when he chants the holy names. He melts the heart of all the Vaishnavas when he sings your glories. Please do not punish him. Call him. Give him your mercy." Lord Chaitanya became grave with anger. "Never, never speak those words again. Don't you plead for that wretched rascal. You have heard the statement that a person puts grass between their teeth and then holds an iron club? That is Mukunda. Whoever he associates with, he becomes like them. When he's with materialistic people, he does not talk about Krishna. When he's with the impersonalists, he talks about Brahman. And when he's with devotees, he sings and talks about Krishna. What does this mean? This means first he bows at my feet with grass between his teeth, then he picks up an iron club and smashes me on the head. Never plead for that wretched person again." Mukunda Dutt heard everything that was spoken. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, when Mukunda was very young, he had a teacher who taught him non-devotional principles. And no one knew this except Lord Chaitanya. Mukunda was thinking, "My life has no value. I have no reason to live if the Lord has rejected me. I will make my plan to end my life." When the devotees saw Mukunda Dutt's plight, they were all
rolling on the ground, weeping in pain. All Mukunda Dutt could speak is, will I ever, ever be allowed to see the Lord again? Srivas Thakur asked Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda Dutt wants to know, will he ever see you again? Lord Chaitanya, with a thunderous voice, proclaimed, he will see me after 10 million births. Of this, there is no doubt. When Mukunda Dutt heard that he will see the Lord without doubt after 10 million births, his entire being was splashed with ecstasy. I will, after 10 million births, I will see the Lord! He started dancing and crying and screaming out, I will! When Lord Chaitanya saw that he had such faith in the Lord's words, Lord Chaitanya's heart melted. To have the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most precious gain. If it takes 10 million births of sacrificing every moment of our life in His service, that is an insignificant price for seeing the Lord. Mukunda Dutt was dancing everywhere in ecstasy. He was in such a trance of happiness, just crying out, I will see! Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda Dutt, come here now. But Mukunda Dutt was in trance. He was in so much happiness, waiting 10 million years, he didn't even hear the Lord. The Lord told the devotees, bring him here. All the devotees were saying, Mukunda Dutt, the Lord wants to see you now. He wants to give you darshan now. Mukunda Dutt was oblivious. He was just expecting that moment after 10 million births with such enthusiasm, with such anticipation. I will. They had to pick him up and carry him and put him right in front of the Lord. Then he saw him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulences to Mukunda Dutt. Lord Chaitanya told the devotees that I am conquered by the full faith that Mukunda Dutt has in my words. Any devotee that has full faith in my promise, I become a prisoner in that devotee's heart. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajim nandamaskuru mame vaishya shikyat satyante pratijani yoshi. Krishna promises, worship me. Think of me, become my devotee. You will come to me without fail. Anyone who has full faith in his words conquers the Lord by that faith. Mukunda Dutt folded his hands. He said, my Lord, I am a fool. I have no qualifications.
And the worst thing is I have no real faith in you. Because of my lack of faith, my entire life is useless, like a pile of ashes. But still, even though I have no faith and no devotion, why, my Lord, do I feel bliss when I see you? Without true devotion, no one can feel bliss when they see you. Duryodhana was given the darshan of Virat Rupa, the universal form. Great students of the Vedas, yogis, ascetics, they spend lifetimes with the aspiration to see that universal form. You displayed it in front of Duryodhana. But he felt unhappiness upon seeing that. In fact, he wanted to chastise you, punish you. Why? Because he had no devotion. The great kings, they assembled for the marriage of Rukmini and Shishupal. And my dear Lord, you appeared before them in your glorious form. But yet, although they were seeing you with their eyes, they felt great unhappiness. And ultimately, you destroyed them. Hiranyaksha had the personal darshan of your magnanimous form of Lord Varaha. But he felt unhappy, envy, suffering upon seeing your form. Therefore you destroyed him. And Hiranyaksha's elder brother, Hiranyakashipu, he stood face to face with Lord Narasimhadev. He did not feel happy. He felt miserable seeing you. He tried to destroy you. And ultimately he was destroyed because he had no devotion. My Lord, I have no devotion, nothing at all. But still, I feel happy seeing you. I cannot understand this. My life is more worthless than a pile of ashes. When you entered into Mathura, that hunchback maidservant, Kubja. And then there was the Yajnapatnis, the simple wives of the Brahmins, the Mathura women, and Sudama, the simple garland maker. When they saw you, they experienced unlimited bliss because they had devotion in their hearts. Kamsa, on the same day, saw the same form, but he felt no happiness at all. He suffered upon seeing you because he had no devotion, and ultimately you destroyed him. By the power of devotion, Anantashesha holds all the universes on his heads. By the power of his devotion, he is so immersed in constantly chanting your glories and your names that he doesn't even know
that any of the universes are sitting on his heads. By the power of devotion, Lord Shiva is able to give all auspiciousness to others. By the power of his devotion, Narada Muni travels everywhere giving pure love of God, glorified as the best of sages. And Vyasadeva, he compiled the four Vedas, the Upanishads, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutras, the Mahabharata. And still he felt no happiness in his heart. But when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam under the direction of Naradaji, when he glorified the path of pure devotion, Vyasadeva's heart experienced the ultimate bliss. My Lord, I have no devotion. I am lower than the lowest worm. But yet by your mercy, I'm happy to see you. Upon hearing Mukunda Das' humility, Lord Chaitanya incessantly cried tears of love for his devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exclaimed the feelings of his heart toward Mukunda. He said, "Mukunda, you have never made any offense to me. Because you had faith in my words, because you have faith in the power of devotional service, therefore, all offenses, all sins of all previous lives, I have removed from your heart." Mukunda Dutt, whenever you sing the holy names, I personally come to hear. Everything you spoke about the power of bhakti is true. In Mathura, there was that washerman. Should I tell you about him? Lord Chaitanya explained that he performed 1,000,000 births of pious activities and severe austerities just for the benediction of seeing the Lord. The Lord, knowing that, wanted to reward him. So he came right to his shop and stood before the washerman. Lord Chaitanya said, not only did I stand before him, but I gave him the chance to serve me. Please give me your best clothes. The washerman said, "These clothes belong to Kamsa. How dare you, impudent boy? You're asking for the king's clothes? Impudent nonsense." He felt no happiness upon seeing me. Millions of births to earn the right to see me, but because he had no devotion, he was unhappy. And I reciprocated with him by slicing off his head. Without devotion, no one can experience pleasure in seeing me. Unless a person has devotion, I enter into their heart and cover them. I cover them so that I suppress any sense of joy in their heart. Because they have no faith and devotion. But those who have such faith and devotion, I enter into their hearts and give them ecstatic bliss. Mukunda Dutt, on this day, I give you this benediction. I place pure, unalloyed devotional service within the core of your heart. I give you this benediction that whenever you sing my names and glories, the hearts of all the circle of Vaishnavas will melt in ecstatic love. I give you the benediction that forever you will be dear to all the devotees. And whenever I descend into this world, you will be my most favorite singer, always chanting the holy name. The devotees jubilantly leaped in the air in ecstasy, crying, Hari Ho! Anyone who hears this narration with faith and devotion will very soon sing in the kirtan of Mukunda Dutt. This is the blessing of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And anyone who feels happiness hearing this narration will soon see the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. Srivas Thakur was so kind. Therefore, the Lord, for 21 consecutive hours, revealed His spiritual opulences to His devotees. The Sat Praharya Lila. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for some prasad, bhoga. They brought Him bhoga. After eating, he happened to see Srivas Thakur's 4-year-old niece, Narayani. The Lord called her. With His own hands, He fed this little girl the remnants from His mouth. From that day on, Narayani is eternally glorified as she who received the remnants from the hands of Lord Chaitanya. After feeding her, Lord Chaitanya instructed the small girl child, "Sing the names of Krishna and weep in ecstasy." Narayani, just by hearing that instruction, became perfectly spiritually awakened with prema bhakti. She cried out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." Then she fell on the ground weeping, incessant tears of genuine ecstatic love. Uncontrollably, she was weeping, repeatedly crying out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." To the great pleasure of all of the devotees. Sat Praharya Lila, the 21 hours of mercy that the Lord bestowed upon His devotees, has revealed to the world Who is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
By his activities, he taught us the process of loving God. But on these rare occasions, he revealed his supreme position as the source of all avatars. And especially through the prayers of each one of the devotees and the boons that they asked for in their lives, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the world what is actually of value. It is so very easy to be distracted from both within and without. We have our past bad habits, the things that we were conditioned to enjoy. Sometimes, like ghosts, they just imperceptibly again enter into our minds to haunt us. Have any of you had that experience ever in your devotional lives? The propaganda of material energy is promising us prosperity and joy, comforts, through serving Maya, through compromising our Krishna consciousness, or even relinquishing it altogether. Like a ghost, we are haunted. And from within, even in our devotional activities, so many distractions, we start to think that getting some facility will make me happy. Getting some prestige will make me happy. Having a position of authority will make me happy. Having followers who adore me, look up to me, and think I'm a great soul, that will make me happy. Having expectations that I deserve something great. These are all diversions, distractions, impediments. We learn from Kolavecha Sridhar, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Mukunda Dutt, Advaita Prabhu, Srivas, Gangadas. In life, what these souls hold sacred in theirs. Grihe Thako, Bane Thako, Sadahari Bole Thako. Whether one is a grihasta with wife, husband, children, family, living in home, occupation, or whether one is a brahmachari in ashram or sannyasi in the forest, doesn't matter. Whether we're King Prataparudra, living in a grand palace, with thousands of soldiers, servants, and ministers at your command, or whether you're Kolavecha Sridhar, just giving a banana leaf to the Lord to eat off every day. If we have this as our priority, King Prataparudra was willing to give up his kingdom if that's what pleased the Lord. And with his kingdom, he used everything to serve the Vaishnavas and to promote the holy name within society. We cannot imitate these
eternal associates of the Lord. But we cannot dismiss the fact that the Lord performed this Leela not for their sake, but to teach us what is sacred. What we should strive for, what we should pray for, what we should live for. The Lord confesses that out of His supreme independent freedom, He is most happy accepting the role of the prisoner of the love of those who live by this principle. Trinadapi sunichena tador ivasihishmuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. On this most auspicious celebration of Gaur Purnima, let us from the very core of our hearts pray at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by His causeless mercy, which comes through the mere medium of His devotees and His holy name, that we may value what is sacred in His heart, and not concern ourselves with what is sacred in our hearts. What is sacred in His heart is His love for us. What is sacred in our hearts is what's killing our natural glory, birth after birth after birth. Haridas Thakur prayed, let me give up this desire for prestige and enjoyment and just be a dog and take the remnants of the food of your devotees. How many of us can honestly offer that prayer, knowing that it will be fulfilled if we ask? Is there anyone here who can honestly, knowing that it will be fulfilled, is willing to ask that prayer? Yes, the Namacharya. That person who is empowered to spread the glories of the holy name to the whole world. Srila Haridas Thakur. So let us pray that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept at least our sincere prayer that we can follow in the mood of these devotees and make their spirit of devotion our ultimate priority and goal of life. That we will strive to follow in their footsteps. And that we may reciprocate with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya that has so profusely flowed through the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada begged, pleaded, and sacrificed everything to give us the treasure of love of God. What is the price?
When we hold that treasure as the most sacred purpose of our life, then it is given to us. Thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shall we have a few minutes kirtan? I'm sorry if Srimad Bhagavatam went over time, but my excuse is it started late. Nama Om Vishnupataya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Asjatyate Satharine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Hari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adoita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hari Bol Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hey Govinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hey, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram